Good afternoon. I have no relationship to disclose. First, some background on gastrointestinal or GI illness outbreaks. In 2007 in the U.S., foodborne disease outbreaks were associated with more than 21,000 cases of illness. We can think of the GI illness outbreaks in terms of different kinds of geographies. So focal outbreaks are highly concentrated in space and time and might be associated with a restaurant, for example. Generalized outbreaks are widespread in the community and might be associated with, for example, a seasonal norovirus increase. Scattered outbreaks might be associated with widely disseminated contaminated commercial products. Each of these kinds of outbreaks typically comes to the attention of the health department in different ways. So focal outbreaks, the health department typically learns about them through passive report, and of course the limitations of passive reporting is that it's often incomplete, can be non-representative, and often not very timely. Generalized outbreaks might only be reported as clusters in institutional settings, and scattered outbreaks are often detected via laboratory testing as through the PulseNet system, but lab testing can be subject to backlogs and delays. Meanwhile, in electronic medical records, or EMRs, clinical data related to GI illness is routinely collected. Multiple syndromic as well as more specific laboratory data sources are available, and these sources are timely and representative for the covered population. It's possible to use these data streams to at least improve situational awareness and potentially initiate outbreak investigations. The objectives of our work were first to create syndromic and laboratory data streams from EMRs for GI illness, and secondly, to use these data streams to identify space-time clusters to complement the routine outbreak detection methods that the health departments already use. I'll be showing you the data streams that we generated from the EMR, show you the method that we used for space-time cluster detection, and show you some interesting potential outbreaks we detected in the EMR data. And finally, for context, show you the outbreaks that were actually known to the State Health Department during the study period. Our study population is Kaiser Permanente, Northern California. It's an integrated healthcare delivery system with 18 medical centers. It services 3.3 million members, who comprise about 22% of the population in these 46 counties or 951 zip codes in the Central Valley and San Francisco Bay Area. We generated 22 data streams. I'll show you the source of each stream, a brief explanation, and the number of episodes there were in 2009, which was our study period. The first 9 data streams were generated using ICD-9 codes. We looked at upper GI illness, or nausea and vomiting, and lower GI illness, or diarrhea, in the ambulatory care, emergency department, and as a primary hospital discharge diagnosis. We also looked at GI illness in each of these 3 settings for less than 5-year-olds. To create more specific data streams, we required ICD-9 codes plus an antibiotic prescription on the same day for upper and lower GI illness in the ambulatory and ED settings. Our next data stream was generated using text strings, which we used to search for hospital admissions for GI illness. We looked at prescription antidiarrheal medications dispensed, lab tests ordered, specifically stool cultures, and lab test results, looking at tests positive for Campylobacter, Salmonella, Shigella, E. coli 015787, Vibrio parahemolyticus, and Cryptosporidium. The method we use to look for clusters is called the space-time permutation scan statistic. It's a method that adjusts for purely geographical and purely temporal variation while simultaneously testing for outbreaks of any size at any location within the catchment while accounting for multiple testing. The software we used was SatScan, which is freely downloadable from this website. We used SatScan to mimic prospective surveillance, analyzing data for every day of 2009 using the prior 365 days as a baseline period. We set the maximum temporal scan window as 14 days, and SatScan identified the most unusual cluster each day for every data stream. And the metric for this is called the recurrence interval, or RI. As an example, if an observed cluster has a recurrence interval of 365 days, then we would expect one cluster as unusual as that observed cluster by chance during any 365-day period. So essentially, the higher the recurrence interval, the more unlikely to have occurred by chance. We mimicked prospective surveillance for each data stream separately, as well as multi-stream analyses. I don't have time to present the multi-stream analyses today, so I'll show you the results for the single-stream analyses. Looking at the 16 non-pathogen-specific data streams that we generated, we were able to detect 24 potential outbreaks. Three of the data streams each contributed to more than five of these potential outbreaks. These were all outpatient diagnoses, specifically lower GI in the ED and AC, and upper GI in the ED setting. For the six pathogen-specific data streams, we detected five potential outbreaks, two Campylobacter and three Salmonella. And now I'll show you two of the most interesting outbreaks that we identified in the EMR data. The first was a potential outbreak in stool culture tests ordered. So on this date, in a single zip code, there were 9 stool culture tests ordered when only 0.6 would be expected by chance for an observed over expected value of 14 and a recurrence interval of over 3,000 days, so very unlikely to occur by chance. Over the next 4 days, additional tests were ordered so that by the end of the cluster, there were 18 stool culture tests ordered when you would only expect about 3, and this is very unlikely to occur by chance. So if the health department were able to detect something like this in real time, they would be interested in asking why were so many stool culture tests ordered in one zip code over a 5-day period. Meanwhile, there were no associated clusters of positive tests for the 6 specific pathogens we had under surveillance, but possibly it could have been a viral GI illness episode or something else that would be worth potentially investigating in real time. As another example, here is a potential outbreak identified looking at tests positive for Salmonella. Here in 3 zip codes, we observed 6 positive tests during this period when less than 1 would be expected by chance, and a cluster as unusual as this would only be expected about once every 2 months or so. So 5 of these 6 observed positive tests were for patients who resided in a single zip code. And we were interested in asking, were these isolates genetically related? So we were able to partner with the state health department, who had already done the routine serotyping on these isolates. And after we did the linkage, we determined that all 5 of these isolates were Salmonella serotype Thompson, which is a rare serotype. It's only the 15th most common identified serotype nationally, representing only about 1% of serotyped isolates. So this common serotype suggests that it's a potential outbreak with a common source or at least localized person-to-person transmission, another example of the kind of thing you might be interested in detecting prospectively. Now, just for context, not that we necessarily think this is a gold standard against which to compare the EMR data, I'll show you the outbreaks that were known to the State Health Department during this period. There were 24 of them. 3 were multi-state outbreaks associated with widely disseminated contaminated commercial products, 2 Salmonella outbreaks, 1 E. coli 0157H7 outbreak associated with cantaloupe, raw cookie dough, and white pepper. There were only 2 additional lab-confirmed pathogens. One was a norovirus outbreak in a restaurant with only 8 cases, and the other was an E. coli 0157H7 outbreak in a home setting with only 5 confirmed cases. So the vast majority of what the health department becomes aware of are outbreaks that do not have a laboratory-confirmed pathogen, and they're outbreaks that occur in very well-defined settings like restaurants or child daycare centers. The median number of recognized cases was only about 10, ranging from 3 to 35. So in summary, GI illness-related data streams can be generated from electronic medical records. They can be used prospectively to identify potential outbreaks in settings like Kaiser that have extensive regional coverage of the underlying population. And what we suggest is that the purpose is to complement traditional outbreak reporting, because the kinds of outbreaks that the health department usually learns about are those that occur in well-defined settings and very often without a lab-confirmed pathogen. We propose that the most promising data streams for prospective monitoring in electronic medical records are first microbiology test results, because these are extremely specific. And I showed you an example where we detected a potential outbreak of Salmonella, and the isolates turned out to be genetically related, all the same serotype. We also think it would be interesting to prospectively monitor stool culture orders because these reflect, at least in part, clinical suspicion for acute enteric illness. And I showed you an example where a very large number of orders occurred in one zip code in a short period of time. There's still the potential that outpatient diagnoses might be useful. These contributed to the largest number of potential outbreaks, but here you have the most danger for false positive signals. Much less promising from our work appears to be the data streams based on prescriptions or hospitalizations. So in my remaining time, I'll focus a little more on why we think these are so useful prospectively. So given that health departments have such limited resources and so many competing priorities, there are often delays in serotyping and selective PFGE testing. Since they can't test everything as soon as it comes in the door, currently, health departments have to prioritize what they test, and this prioritization is based on the presence of an unusual serotype, an increase in a common serotype, or recognizing clusters. And clinical diagnostic laboratories within health plans routinely submit isolates to the state public health reference labs for further testing. And we propose that while they're submitting their isolates, they or the health department could look for possible space-time clusters in order to help recognize clusters and prioritize testing. We also believe it would be useful to prospectively monitor stool culture orders. Some of the workup that might be done if you see one is to order further tests looking for viruses. And in fact, the California Department of Public Health, based on the results of this study, is currently seeking resources for a prospective surveillance pilot where they will be focusing on stool culture tests ordered and test positive for specific pathogens. I would like to acknowledge these individuals and our funder, and thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Green. We do have some time for questions. Are there any questions from the audience at this point? Yes, please.
Thank you. So the question is regarding generalizability. It's a great point. We had coverage of about 22% of the underlying population. So I wouldn't suggest that we would be able to capture all outbreaks in this setting, which is why we propose that this complements what the health department is already doing. It looks like the most potential is in identifying outbreaks with a laboratory-confirmed source. So I'm thinking most usefully about those that are associated with a widely disseminated contaminated commercial product. So here you don't have to necessarily have a representative sample. You just have to have some people who have consumed that product. And then once you start investigating, you could better identify the affected cases. But it's more of a sentinel system. It's not going to capture everyone in the population. It's a good point. Thank you. Yes.
Certain part of the population, but it's a pretty large.
Thank you so much for the comments. We believe that this kind of work will be even more useful as more institutions adopt electronic health records and collect them centrally. I believe the state of California is working towards a central, at least for the hospital discharges, but hopefully they'll be able to bring in laboratory data as well. So thanks for your comments. Thank you.